I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. Palestinian medics report Friday Israeli military strikes killed at least 30 Palestinians overnight in the Gaza Strip, most of them in the Nusrat camp at the center of the enclave, after tanks pulled away from an area they had raided. Meanwhile, the Israeli military reports its warplanes fired on targets in southern Lebanon Thursday after detecting activity by the militant Hezbollah group. The attack was the first Israeli airstrike after a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah took hold earlier this week. The World Health Organization said Thursday the ceasefire agreement in Lebanon provides an opportunity to address urgent humanitarian needs in the country. The WHO representative for Lebanon, Abdinasar Aboubakar, told reporters he was optimistic some hospitals could be back in operation quickly.
Probably some hospitals will take some time, but some hospitals probably will be able to restart very quickly. For example, there are four hospitals, two in Beirut, two outside Beirut, that probably will be able to operationalize for the next 4 weeks if the ceasefire remains intact.
Several buildings in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, were reportedly damaged Friday following a Russian overnight drone attack. Meanwhile, Ukrainian soldiers deserting their posts are robbing the Ukrainian army of desperately needed manpower and crippling its battle plans at a crucial time in its war with Russia. Associated Press correspondent Karen Chamas reports.
Soldiers, lawyers, and Ukrainian officials tell the AP that tens of thousands of tired and bereft Ukrainian troops have walked away from combat and frontline positions. According to military commanders and soldiers, entire units have abandoned their posts, leaving defensive lines vulnerable and accelerating territorial losses. Some take medical leave and never return. Others clash with commanders and refuse to carry out orders, sometimes during firefights. The war has largely been going Russia's way, and the desertions could put Kyiv at a clear disadvantage in future ceasefire talks. I'm Karen Chamas.
This is VOA News. Police clashed with pro-European Union protesters in the Georgian capital of Tbilisi early Friday after the country's ruling party said the government would suspend talks on EU membership and refuse budgetary grants from the bloc until 2028, Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer reports.
Police ordered protesters to disperse, fired water cannons, and deployed pepper spray and tear gas as masked young people tried to smash their way into the parliament. Georgia has long been among the most pro-Western of the former Soviet states. Opinion polls show that around 80% of citizens support EU membership, and the aim of EU accession is written into the country's constitution. However, Georgia's relations with the EU have deteriorated sharply in recent months, with Brussels alleging that the Georgian Dream governing bloc had adopted pro-Russian stands and pushed through bills that critics have called authoritarian. Those moves led the EU to suspend Georgia's application for membership. Georgia Dream denies that it is pro-Russian and says it is committed to democracy and integration with the West, though it has, in recent years, deepened ties with Russia.
That was Reuters correspondent Gabe Singer reporting. Democratic members of the U.S. Congress from the northeastern U.S. state of Connecticut are reporting they received bomb threats at their homes Thursday. AP correspondent Norman Hall reports.
Their offices say at least five Democratic members of Congress from Connecticut were targeted by bomb threats on their homes Thursday. Senator Chris Murphy and Representatives Jim Himes, Joe Courtney, John Larson, and Johanna Hayes all reported being the subject of such threats. Police who responded said they found no evidence of explosives on the lawmakers' properties. The bomb threats against Democrats happened a day after a number of President-elect Donald Trump's most prominent cabinet picks and appointees reported that they had received such threats, as well as swatting attacks, in which perpetrators initiate an emergency law enforcement response against a victim under false pretenses. I'm Norman Hall.
International coffee traders are watching anxiously as Brazil-based traders Atlantica and Coffee Bras are seeking to negotiate their debt with creditors in court after being hit by a surge in global Arabica coffee bean prices, Reuters correspondent Sierra Lee reports.
Arabica coffee futures on the ICE exchange, which is used to price beans around the world, are at their highest in nearly half a century. That's on fears that the upcoming crop in top producer Brazil has been damaged by this year's drought. Some farmers have, as a result, delayed deliveries in hope of securing even higher prices. Atlantica and Café Brás this week said in a statement they were seeking to restructure their debt. Traders believe they will not be the last to face these problems and that this will drive coffee prices even higher and eventually filter through to consumers. Arabica coffee is the world's second most valuable commodity after oil.
That was Reuters correspondent Sierra Lee reporting. That wraps up this news update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.